Welcome to the Think Data podcast, brought to you in partnership with Dataworks. If you want to stay up to date with the latest breakthroughs and trends in the world of data and artificial intelligence, and if you're curious about some of the strategies that companies and founders use to launch data and AI products, then you're in the right place. Our aim is to bring together a diverse lineup of fantastic guests, from the founders through to accomplished leaders and product owners at some of the most fascinating data and AI companies worldwide. They will each offer you their own unique insight into what it takes to launch and scale a great data business. Thanks for tuning in, and I hope you enjoy the episode. This is the Think Data podcast in partnership with Dataworks. And today I'm really happy to welcome Regan Avon to the show. Regan is the co-founder and CEO at Align AI. Align AI has been set up, well, really to kind of tackle one of, if not the most hotly discussed topic in the world of AI right now, governance. For many, you know, governance, people look at, raise their eyebrows and kind of move on. But I think where we are now, and certainly based on the conversations we've had, it really is kind of the biggest ticket in town at the moment. Their platform has been set up to ensure that companies are building the right solutions and in the right way. Been really looking forward to this. Thanks for coming on. And I appreciate you, as you've just alluded to before we kicked off, have a huge kind of backlog of work to get on with. So thanks for getting on. And I'm obviously fascinated by your background because you've obviously got a huge amount of experience in obviously setting Align AI up. And do you mind kind of summarizing kind of your journey to date and kind of what was ultimately the idea behind the business?
Yeah, thanks so much for having me on, Alex. I'm really looking forward to this. It's very exciting. So a little bit about my background. So I've been in the enterprise AI space for almost a decade now, about 9 years, actually going on 10 soon. And it's been a really fascinating journey because I've kind of seen, this is like the second AI hype cycle that I've lived through in my career. And if I go all the way back, you know, I got my start basically teaching machine learning courses. I was an engineer in college. I focused on systems engineering and computer science engineering. And I was really, really fascinated with this idea of being able to predict the future. Don't know why. It was just like very captivating for me. So I dove headfirst into this space and just became very obsessed with kind of the whole data ecosystem, because at the time, big data was the thing, right? Hadoop and all the big data systems and trying to process data more efficiently. And so, you know, I kind of got my start teaching and diving into that. And then I was a data engineer for a couple of years at a technology startup. And then I worked for a company called ModelOp, which is actually an MLOps platform, basically. And my co-founder for Align AI, Brendan, and I both worked there. So I kind of drug him into that company back in the day as well. And so we spent a number of years helping large, very large enterprise organizations and regulated industries think about how to manage the whole design, build, deploy, and management process of machine learning models. And so, as you can imagine, in a regulated industry, we're talking about lots of regulatory reporting, lots of oversight, lots of process, lots of restrictions. And so you would get these models that would finally be built and ready to go, and it would take us another 6 to 9 months to get through risk and compliance and check all the boxes. And so we just spend a lot of time thinking, man, this could get really ugly as things get more complicated and convoluted. And on top of that, it's not sustainable, and it's creating a really poor ROI for a lot of these organizations who are dumping a bunch of money into AI. And then fast forward to where we're at now, thankfully, the entire ecosystem has matured quite a bit. The platforms have matured, the use cases have matured. And now we actually, for the first time, have the ear of C-suite board members, executives, on how AI can actually transform an entire company.
Yeah, it's fascinating, isn't it? Because obviously, I was obviously referred to you. And when I was in New York, I was at the AI summit, and I think probably 9 out of 10 presentations, the hottest topic that everyone talked around, irrespective of company size, whether it was around having a strict governance framework in place, or at least companies making sure their data strategy are linked very closely to data governance. And I know I kind of alluded to high level what Align do, but what specific challenges is kind of your business looking to address, and kind of in what way, how do they do that?
Yeah, and you know, and governance is always the bad word.
Of course, yeah.
Nobody wants to talk about, and nobody actually wants to do anything about, because we're in this mode of like, go fast, build fast, break things, whatever, like get something out there. And governance is that big scary word that's like, no, go slower, be more methodical, be more thoughtful about it, put some checks in place. And so when you go to sell governance to a large company, you will not get a lot, you will not be met with, you know, laughter and happiness. So I think one thing that we learned, because our backgrounds are so deeply ingrained in kind of this like restriction and oversight of governance space, is that there's two sides of the same coin here. When we're looking at decisions and impact from AI systems, there's governance, which is trying to prevent bad things from happening and trying to monitor for things upfront so that you can ensure that the system is working as you intended it to work. Mm. And then there's the other side of that coin, which is impact from a value perspective. So what actual value is this AI solution bringing to the company? What sort of revenue is it generating? What sort of costs is it avoiding? And so really it's the same thing. It's just two different lenses of looking at it. And what we do at Align AI is we actually really help companies manage that central piece, which in turn manages the other two pieces. So we help them figure out, where is this going to have an impact in the organization? How do you track and measure that? And then how do you also put the right guardrails in place around those components to make sure that it's not going to insert a ton of risk into the company?
Yeah, it's that risk appetite, isn't it? I think, you're right. AI, someone quoted this last year, kind of the train has left the station, and kind of, you know, it's now very hard for people and companies to then retrospectively try and govern what they're doing. And when you're going into companies, because obviously the business, correct me if I'm wrong, there is obviously the platform, and it's obviously lots of insight from kind of data and kind of reference points on the platform. But are you also supplementing that with speaking to these companies, really understanding their challenges, or is the goal really to try and drive everything through this platform and say, look, this should kind of answer 90% of these questions, but actually beyond that, we can offer some SME advice?
Great question. I think we're in a really interesting point of the hype cycle. Mm. I talk about this with a lot of people. The early days of hype cycle is like consulting glory. Like, you're just like, everyone's like, go see what everybody else is doing and come back and tell us what everybody else is doing, and we'll do what everybody else is doing. Like, the, yeah. You de-risk it by getting these, you know, consulting shops in who have experience, who understand what they're doing and have done it before, and also have the ears of hundreds of other companies. Mm. And so they're really a good surveyor of where the market is and what's happening and where you are on that. So the first kind of year, 2 years is really, you know, companies are buying a lot of software to support it. They're buying a lot of services. And then comes the education boom, which is never really sustainable. However, very necessary, because now you've got a transformation happening. So you have people's roles are changing. New concepts are being inserted. Workforce transformation's happening. And so not only do we need to educate the technical teams, now we need to educate the executives. We need to educate people in operations who are leveraging these tools. So there's a huge educational piece to this that is not super scalable, unfortunately. However, very necessary. And so we do offer a lot of that support to our customers as well. And then you get into the sustainability play, which are the platforms. And so a lot of what we've been doing for the last 4 years is really nicely encapsulated into the platform that we're building, because we know that there's a sustainability factor that's coming after this.
Yeah, because it's interesting. Obviously, you've been in this for 4 years, and again, you're coming from the background where you're so entrenched in this space, you can understand some of the intricacies and nuances of what you're building. But there is a lot of this that we are leaping into the unknown, aren't we? Because obviously, a great example is you talk about kind of how jobs will change, and there's going to be displacement, but there's equally going to be opportunity. And one of the biggest areas people are talking about is AI ethics and AI governance. How are you kind of, I know obviously you referenced there really nicely, kind of talking to other companies, other use cases, but how are you going to know that this is the right way to do it? Because obviously, ultimately, we are still so early on, in whether it's the top of a hype cycle or things are kind of steadying out. How do you know what you're doing is the right way? Or do you think it'll just consistently evolve over time?
Yeah, we look at a couple of things, honestly. You're right. This ecosystem is moving very, very, very rapidly. And I think the biggest... you have to look at the delta of change and the different dimensions that are changing. So what's changing the most right now? The developer ecosystem for AI is changing the most right now, which means that we're enabling new users who were never building with AI before to build with AI, which means we've got tons and tons of new solutions, potentially verticalized, highly verticalized solutions, or really, really specific kind of use cases that are being, you know, solved for with AI now. And the other piece of this is the infrastructure side. So what infrastructure changes or fundamental shifts are happening? And I think if you keep your ear to the ground, there's a lot pending in that space, but it's not moving quite as rapidly as the development ecosystem. And then you've got the things that are always going to be steady state, which is how do we ensure that people are leveraging these things appropriately? And how do we ensure that we can put some guardrails in place as the volume of these solutions increases and the adoption increases? Because the scary thing about AI is scale. That's what makes it dangerous, right? It's that we can now scale bad decisions and we can scale bad things. And that variable is going to keep, you know, moving up and to the right. And so I think if you just kind of break down all the different core components of the AI ecosystem, you look at which variables are changing and how fast they're changing. That's a good way of knowing where to place your chips.
Yeah, very very methodical, you know, almost working back from the end point and saying, right, what do we need to put in place here? Because obviously with the White House, the AI order, you've obviously got the recent news about obviously companies having to present their kind of how they're developing AI. And I think that's going to be a hugely, not hopefully limiting point to companies, but I do think it's going to make companies probably, you're probably quite pleased about it, but I think actually companies have to stop and actually hang on a minute. You know, you can't just deploy all of these new tools and technologies without ultimately thinking what the impact's going to be. So I guess that was kind of welcome news for you.
Yeah, I mean, you know, I'm not a big advocate for over-regulation. No. I think it's actually a bad thing. However, I think we, you know, I was talking to one of our, you know, close company friends and personal friend, and she's been a lawyer in the AI ecosystem for the last like 6 or 7 years. And,
interesting.
You know, I was talking to her a lot about what was going to be on the horizon earlier last year. Like, what do we think is going to change? What sorts of regulations do we think are going to go into place? And she was like, quite honestly, a lot of regulations we have in place today still protect against these AI systems. Like, companies are not allowed to discriminate against people, whether it's a person or an AI system. And so you're going to get in trouble regardless. Now, it's how easily we can catch it, how easily we can prove it. That's kind of a little bit of a different ballgame, but the same thing still remains. And so I think when we look at it close to the use cases, you know, there's some preventative measures that they're trying to put in place, which I broadly agree with for the most part, and others I don't. And then there's really regulating against these use cases, which I think the whole regulatory ecosystem has done a good job shifting into that space over the last like 6 months, because now they're getting way more explicit about where should we use it, where shouldn't we use it, and why.
Yeah, I think you hit the nail on the head there. It's striking a fine balance of promoting, allowing innovation, but also making sure the innovation that's happening is right. But yeah, it's a fascinating space. And I'm really interested to dig on what you referenced and what you mentioned at the beginning when you're obviously speaking to these new customers and you're referencing governance and that probably their eyes glaze over a bit and you're probably thinking, no, it's not, you know, it's not a bad thing. How is Elaine AI and you kind of dispelling that kind of notion that governance is bad? Because ultimately you're there to promote innovation and drive performance, but how are you doing that?
Yeah, I always start whenever I talk to any of my customers about, do we think of governance in the same way? Like, are we thinking about it the same way? Because when you go to these large organizations, they have like model risk management teams. They have, and especially in like banks or financial institutions, they're pretty structured already around having model risk management teams. And that's kind of all the technical nuance of like, how do we test and deploy models? How do we roll back models? How do we collect all the metadata across the training pipelines and inference pipelines? Like, how do we do all of the little technical nuancey things that will actually give us a robust understanding of the quality of solutions we're building and deploying? And yep. So a lot of companies already have the basics in place for that. I think the problem around governance is more of the people side. It's more of the organizational management and governance. It's what use cases do we allow and do we not allow? Like some of it's kind of squishy. It's like comes back to principles and ethics, values of a company, and what do we want to use these solutions for? And then the other parts of that too are like scoping on use cases. So when I talk about governance with organizations, I'm more so saying, what are you building and why are you building it? What will it impact? I'm less so saying, does your model, did it pass all of the validation tests that you put in place to go to production? And so I think there's a really clear distinction between the two of those. And when I start talking about that, I couple a lot of this with, don't you also want to track the value of these initiatives over time? Like, don't you also want to know what sort of impact this model is going to have on your supply chain costs? Like, don't you also want to know the remittance, you know, impact that this model is going to have operationally? And so I think when they hear it from that perspective, they're like, yes, I want an ROI. You know, then I start talking to the CFOs and they're like, oh, I love that. I love being able to track this. And so you kind of couple it with this, you know, carrot approach of governance, which is like visibility on your entire ecosystem of how AI is influencing your business.
Yeah, and I really like that. You see, you know, you're kind of tackling it, as you said, the dangling the carrot and working back from that point. And people, I think people are pretty, they can see the upside. But I'm interested to tap into at what stage companies should be looking into adopting these kind of practices, because I'm assuming there's companies out there that are relatively older school, they've got some kind of machine learning functions, they are pushing out some form of artificial intelligence or some models. But there's also those kind of day one startups that are coming in and probably have a slightly more level playing field. You know, how are you, what's the kind of advice to companies coming in? At what stage should they look at the kind of practices around governance?
Yeah, also a great question. I can tell you in navigating the market and figuring out which part of the market we wanted to go after first, we did a lot of analysis on these different segments and tried to understand what sorts of pain points they're experiencing and trying to anticipate what sorts of pain points they will experience in the next, you know, 3 to 5 years. And I think we've landed primarily on the very large enterprise organizations because they have a scale problem from a size perspective. Like, you've got all of these shadow IT, like, you know, little groups inside of the company. You've got everybody doing something a little bit different. When you go to these global organizations, they have pockets of people deploying models in every which way. And so there's literally no centralized ecosystem to manage any of that. So that for us is gold. We're like, great, we'll help you do that.
Organized chaos.
So I think, right, exactly. Yeah. Well, sometimes not even organized. Sometimes just chaos. and then you get down into kind of like the smaller enterprises. And I think there's a really big point of confusion on who they are as a company. Are we going to dip our toes to be an AI-driven company? And to what capacity? Because there's still a lot of smaller enterprises that haven't made that move yet. We're talking like $1 billion to $4 billion in revenue on that range. And what I mean by that is, well, there's kind of a step function in cost when you decide we're going to build stuff in-house. Yeah. We're going to make that investment in talent and infrastructure and technology and all of it. I mean, that is not an easy, you know, initial dipping your toes into the water kind of situation. However, what has happened over the last year is it's gotten cheaper to get exposed to the value of AI. What I mean by that is all of these co-pilot tools that have come to fruition, right? Yep. So, and now as a company, actually one of my dear friends, Noelle Russell, her and I were talking last week, and she was saying, there's build, boost, and buy. It's not just like build and buy anymore. There's this middle ground of like build and buy, which is kind of like this boosting idea of curating, you know, the tools or the models out there to something more specific that a company can use. And so when we talk about how generic or how specific is it, you know, there's this big range there. And so you're asking the question about governance and like the size of companies. And I dove into that just to say that there's a lot of considerations that these companies are putting into place on how much money they want to spend. And as a startup, you can get started with all of these tools out of the box. As a large enterprise, you have a lot of legacy systems, a lot of messy data, a lot of data management and data quality problems. And you've got to really fix that first to get to the other piece. So I think everyone should be thinking about governance. Everyone should have policies in place. Everyone should have acceptable use policies on AI solutions today, regardless of who you are and what company you run. And I think how far deep into governance you get depends on how much you are building versus buying versus boosting.
Yeah, no, I like that. So wherever on the journey, I obviously, to kind of paraphrase that, obviously everyone should be looking at it, but where they are on that journey and ultimately kind of what they're looking to do with that will really dictate how deep they go into defining and implementing that strategy. And that's pretty clear. And I know we obviously talk about governance and, you know, the benefits of it, but what are the repercussions to companies? And I don't know if you've seen any yet, maybe too early, but for companies that really don't fully invest in this and they kind of neglect kind of the AI governance strategy, what issues do you see coming up?
Yeah, the really obvious ones are the ones that hit the headlines. You don't want your company's name being in the headlines, right? There's like IP and sensitive data leakage that's happening. There's actual ethical issues that are happening where they're having to pull back models or completely shut down models altogether. There are a couple of retailers that I won't name explicitly who had ethical issues that were called out. And there's a much bigger ethics, AI ethics community now than there ever has been. So I think there's a lot more pressure on making sure that people are held accountable. So when you look at accountability and risk, you're looking at financial accountability. So am I going to get hit with a regulatory fine, which can be millions and millions of dollars, depending on the impact of that. Also, you know, data privacy leaks or any of the data issues associated with that as well. Am I leaking IP out the door by leveraging these tools that I'm not sure how they're managing the data that I'm feeding into them, or we have no protocols on how to, you know, revoke sensitive information prior to using them. And then there's reputational damage, and the reputational damage is going to be held accountable in the public, you know, court, basically.
Yeah.
So I think there's all, and then there's a bunch of other harms that can happen as well. There's harms that happen to you physically. Think of all the autonomous vehicles and any issues that come up with those models not working appropriately. And there's things that happen in terms of harm ethically towards people that may be a little more subtle and might have financial implications on those individuals. And so when we're thinking about risk and we're showing companies like, these are all the dimensions that you should be thinking about when you're considering leveraging AI, either building or buying it, they start to understand that not only are there so many dimensions of risk, but there's these trickle effects, or what I call the butterfly effect of AI going wrong, where it's like this goes wrong and in this instance, and then it, you know, kind of trickles down into all these other negative impacts. And so getting people to understand what that looks like, educating them on that, gives them kind of a framework as to like, why should we even consider it? And I'll say the other thing too, is I try really hard not to be a doom and gloom person and to go into a company and say like, this is going to go wrong. Here's all the ways it can go wrong. Here's how hackers can hack into your AI systems. Like I do get coached by people like, you know, tone it down just a little bit, because then people are going to be too afraid to do anything.
And I want to talk to you again. Yeah,
totally. They're like, whoa. I don't think we should do AI at all. It sounds way too risky. And I think the thing that I try to remind them is this concept is not new. These approaches are not new. The only thing that's new is the generative AI component, which can be harder to monitor, can be harder to assess for quality. And thankfully, the ecosystem is working on providing tools to help with that. But yeah, it's a balance to try to tread on, encouraging people to move forward and then also be careful.
Because I guess it goes back to your point, doesn't it, about kind of too much regulatory kind of restrictive, you know, almost from your side, advice, and you know, could potentially limit the rate at which people are investing. And on your point just now, is I almost get scared off it. And I've seen companies think they're adopting AI and pushing into AI, but actually, when the cost, the sheer scale of what they're looking to tackle and have to subsequently tackle from a governance, from a data policy standpoint, from a, even you touched on earlier, education and training, they've gone, whoa, this is actually far more complex than we thought. Do you think that will over time become easier as companies A, understand it better, but then obviously tooling and obviously AI associated tools will just make it easier?
Absolutely. I think A, costs are going to go down.
Yeah.
B, user experience is going to go up. So we're going to see a need for less education when the tools become more intuitive and when the interfaces and the experiences become more intuitive. And right now they're just not. And you know, there's a bunch of reasons for that, but we're just not there yet. And so I see a big shift happening when the intuition starts to improve and the costs start to go down, which I guarantee will happen.
Yeah, no, that makes sense. And in terms of you and Align moving forward, I know you've got your hands pretty full. But in terms of what you can publicly say, and obviously what we will do to the listeners is make sure we tag you guys. I know a lot of kind of people in different positions will be really interested to see what your platform is and the product is. But what kind of developments or initiatives can we expect to see over the kind of coming months from you guys?
Yeah, we're in a really fun place right now. So we publicly launched our product in Q4, which is very recent. So about three or four months ago. And we're, you know, like you mentioned, busier than hell trying to get everybody on the platform, which is very exciting. We've got a couple of intelligence layer components inside of the product that we're releasing in the next couple of months, which I'm very excited about. One of which does a full analysis on AI use cases inside of our platform. So it helps people understand feasibility, the variables and metrics around benefit realization and impact and risk assessments as well. So we're providing a comprehensive view to actually evaluate and provide suggestions on how to rescope or rethink about use cases and prioritize those inside of organizations so they can manage that there. So that we're very, very excited about that. We initially released the platform with our Playbook Studio, which actually encourages organizations to kind of customize their own frameworks and educational materials on the latest and greatest out there, industry frameworks and best practices, and some very notable ones like NIST, for example, they're included in that. So if organizations are trying to think about what is out there, what do I need to incorporate and how do I operationalize it, there's that component of the platform as well. And then our governance tracker and control center is also getting released in the next couple of months as well, which basically overlays the Playbook Studio and policy management with our use case registry, which is super exciting.
Wow. No wonder you'd be working it this weekend. It's I'm going to be excited to kind of publicize the product because I think it's great. And I want to leave this to the end because it's something we discussed before, but you're obviously super busy with Align. You obviously got some huge personal, exciting things to look forward to as well. But one thing we always try and promote and certainly talk about with our community is obviously diversity and trying to drive people from underrepresented groups, irrespective of what group that is, into kind of analytics. And I think there's still a huge amount of work to be done. I think we'll be so far off where we need to be. But I know you're heavily involved with women in analytics. And obviously as a female co-founder, that's been, you know, great. And obviously you should hopefully show to people, look, you know, it doesn't, anyone can get anywhere really. But, you know, what how did that come about and kind of what does that involve for people?
Yeah. So I founded the organization about 8 years ago and it's a global digital organization. So it's mostly online, but we do have kind of bigger events and conferences that we host as well. So it's kind of, it's not like a chapter or meetup type of group. It's more of this kind of like global cohesive organization where we provide lots of educational materials, mentorship opportunities, basically a place for anyone to come and learn more and connect with people who have a similar mindset that they do. And so that's been really rewarding to see that grow. I think we have about 8,000 members on our platform.
Wow.
Today. Yeah. So it's grown quite a bit. And then our flagship event that we've been running, this is our seventh global conference for it. It's called Data Connect. And we host it in Columbus, Ohio. It's also global. We have people from all over the world that fly in to attend. It's 3 days, 55 speakers, 2,000 attendees. And we basically highlight all of the incredible women who are making a huge impact in this space. So our speakers are women, and we're really focused on providing more opportunities to provide them with visibility to the work that they're doing. So, and then we launched a West Coast version of the conference in Portland, which is super exciting. And we're on our second year for that. And that's May 8th, I believe.
I love that. I think it's more people like you need to be doing this. I think it's great. I think there's it takes the initiative, and to do this over sort of 8 year period, whilst 4 years ago launching a line and getting up to, I say, 8,000 people, conferences, and Portland. Wow, it's hats off. I really enjoyed this, Reagan. I think you touched on some really interesting points, and I know we're going to kind of paraphrase it when we launch. I'll obviously make sure we tag you in as well, and I know you've got your own podcast. People can obviously tune into that as well. But yeah, thanks so much. It's been my pleasure to have you on. And I obviously, I know you've got a huge amount to be getting on with. So thanks so much, Reagan.
Yeah, thank you so much for having me on. I'm so glad Cal introduced us.
Yeah, likewise. We owe him. Thanks very much.